This week's Parsha is Parshas Pinchas, and in regards to the story of Parshas Pinchas, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Pei Beis 82 explains the story in more details. The Gemara there says that after the killing started because the people were doing the idolatry of Baal Peor, and Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that anybody who did the sin should be killed, then Moshe Rabbeinu and the judges were killing the people who did the idolatry of Baal Peor. Then the tribe of Shimon came to their leader Zimri ben Salu, which according to the Gemara is Shlumiel ben Tzrishadai, who is Shaul ben Achnanis, and they came to him and told him that Moshe Rabbeinu is killing all the people. Zimri ben Salu decided to bring Cosby Basur. The Gemara explains how he was able to get her, but he brings her in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and the elders, and he asks Moshe Rabbeinu, can I have relations with her or not? Moshe Rabbeinu said that you can't have relations with her because she's a Midianist. Then Zimri ben Salu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, if that is true, Bas Yisroi mihetiralach, who allowed you to have relations with the daughter of Yisroi? Moshe Rabbeinu had married Zipporah, which was the daughter of Yisroi, and she was a Midianist. Then Zimri ben Salu was saying that if I can't have relations with this woman because she's a Midianist, how could you have relations with that woman, which was also a Midianist? The Gemara says, Nisalmu imenu halacha, that Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the halacha, and the halacha is that aboil aramis kano im pogim ba, that anybody who has a relations with a non-Jewish woman, and according to the Rambam, in public, then zealots are allowed to kill him. But Moshe Rabbeinu had forgotten this halacha. The Gemara continues that go kulam bepchiyah, that everybody was crying, and therefore it's written in Bamidbar chapter 25, verse number 6, Vehem boichim pesach oel moed, that they are crying at the door of the oel moed because they forgot the rule of law, what to do in this case. Then the Gemara continues that the verse continues and says, Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon Kohen, that Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aharon Kohen, saw. The Gemara has an argument, what did Pinchas see? Omar Rav says, Ra Masa, that he saw the action, Veniskar Halacha, and he remembered the rule of law. The Gemara continues and explains, Omar Loi, that Pinchas told Moshe Rabbeinu, Achi Avi Abba, the brother of my grandfather, Loikach Limadatoni, Berit Chom Mehar Sinai, didn't you teach us when you came down from Mount Sinai, Haboel Esakutis, Kanoim Pogimba, that if you have relations with a non-Jewish woman, then zealots may kill him? Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't answer him yes or no. All Moshe Rabbeinu says to him, Omar Loi, Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, Karyono de Garta, the one who reads the letter, I lehave parvanka, he should be the messenger to do the deed. Meaning that since you remembered the halacha, then you the one that should do the deed. Meaning simply that Moshe Rabbeinu told Pinchas indirectly, go ahead and kill Zimri. This statement of the Gemara is going to be the main focus of our shir, and we'll start analyzing the whole statement first. First, from the beginning, where it's written that Pinchas saw and remembered halacha, Sefer Leif Simcha brings down that it's brought down in Sefer Meir Ene Chachomim in regards to the Shema, Bamidbar chapter 15, verse 39, where it's written there, Urisem Oisoi, that you should look at the tzitzes, Uzachartem es kol mitzvos Hashem, and then you remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem. He explains that looking at a mitzvah automatically is as good to remember the mitzvahs of Hashem. Meaning, when you're looking at something good, that causes you to remember all the other mitzvahs of Hashem. Therefore, when you look at the tzitzis, automatically you'll remember the mitzvahs of Hashem. Sefer Lev Simcha continues and says, according to this comes out, that if you're looking at something bad, that causes you to forget the mitzvahs of Hashem. If you're looking at something good, causes you to remember the mitzvahs of Hashem. If you look at something bad, causes you to forget the mitzvahs of Hashem. Therefore, the Jewish people and Moshe Rabbeinu, since they saw what Zimri ben Salu is doing to Cosby Basur, which was something bad, automatically they forgot the mitzvahs of Hashem. But Pinchas, since Pinchas was involved totally in Kedusha, totally in holiness, Pinchas, Ra'a Ma'aseh, even though he saw the action, nonetheless, Nizkar Halacha, he remembered the Halacha. That even though he saw the action which is bad and that tends to make you forget the Halacha, nonetheless, Pinchas remembered the Halacha. According to this idea, Sefer Pardas Yosef says that now we could explain this interesting Targum Yonason Ben Uziel. Targum Yonason Ben Uziel says, Vein Boichim Pesach Oel Moed, that when it's written that the Jewish people were crying at the door of the tent of meeting, Targum Yonason Ben Uziel says that they are crying and reading the Shema. And all the Mefarshim are bothered why specifically they're reading the Shema at this point. But according to what Sefer Lev Simcha explains, Sefer Pardes Yosef says that now we understand why they were reading the Shema. Because since they forgot the Halacha, and they know from the Shema that when you look at something good, that makes you remember the Halacha, therefore they wanted to remember the Halacha, therefore they decided that they are going to read the Shema. They are going to read the Shema, automatically they will look at the tzitzis. Once you look at the tzitzis, then uzchartem es kol mitzvois Hashem, you remember all the mitzvahs Hashem, then they would have remembered the idea that haboel aram is kanoim pogim bo, that if you have relations with a non-Jew, zealots may kill you. Therefore, after they forgot the halacha, and they realized they forgot the halacha because they saw the despicable act that Zimri was doing with Cosby, now they decided to read the Shema because through the power of Shema and looking at the tzitzis, that will cause them to remember the mitzvahs of Hashem, and they hoped that they will remember the halacha in this case. Now we'll continue the Gemara, which the Gemara says that after Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the halacha and Pinchas came to him, then Pinchas says, brother of my grandfather, didn't you teach us when you came down the mountain that haboil kutis, that anybody who has relations with a non-Jew, then zealots may kill him? And Mefarshim asks, why did Pinchas refer to Moshe Rabbeinu that way? Meaning that he could have just said, Adonai Moshe, our master Moshe, didn't you teach us when you came down the mountain that somebody who has relations with a non-Jew, then zealots may kill him? Why does he have to say, brother of my grandfather? True that you could say that he always referred to his great uncle as great uncle, but Mefarshim explained that it was meant in a deeper way. And Mefarshim explained that according to the opinion of Rav, then Pinchas was required to ask permission of Moshe Rabbeinu, because since Moshe Rabbeinu was the Rav, then if Pinchas would have not asked permission of Moshe Rabbeinu, then it would have been Moire Halacha Lifnei Raboi, somebody who makes Halacha in front of his Rabbi, and that is prohibited. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to give permission, and Mefarshim explained that by Moshe Rabbeinu telling Pinchas that the person who reads the letter, he's the one that should be the messenger, that was where Moshe Rabbeinu was giving permission for Pinchas to do his act. And according to the Imre Emes, this statement that Moshe Rabbeinu made to Pinchas was even a stronger statement. Because the Imre Emes asks a question that the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar brings down, that Pinchas is the one that made the decree that a Jew is not allowed to drink regular wine of a non-Jew. Meaning that biblically it is prohibited to drink wine from a non-Jew, but the wine that is prohibited is only the wine that was poured for an idol, that is called Yain Nesach, that is prohibited. But Pinchas added that even regular drinking wine, which was not poured to an idol, it is still prohibited for a Jew to drink this wine. And he decreed it because of what happened in this story, meaning that the Gemara brings down that Bilam suggested to Balak to entice the Jewish people to commit sin, and he gave them advice that he should put an older woman selling linen clothing in a tent, and since the Jewish people had the same clothing for all this time, obviously they were enticed to buy this clothing. The older women gave a price, and a younger woman inside gave a cheaper price, then the man would be secluded with the younger woman inside, and the younger woman would bring out wine while they were negotiating, and the Gemara says, and the wine of a non-Jew wasn't prohibited yet, then the Jewish person would drink this wine. While the Jewish person was a little bit tipsy, this younger woman would strip naked and seduce this Jewish man. The Jewish man would want to have relations with her, but before they would have relations, she would take out her idol and say that I could only have relations if you worship the idol. Even in his drunken state, the Jewish man would say, how can I worship an idol when Hashem said it is prohibited to worship this idol? Then the Moabite woman would say, I am not asking you to bow down to this idol, I'm asking you to defecate in front of this idol. Then the Jewish person would do that, and that is what caused the Jewish people to sin. So the whole sinning came about because they drank the wine of a non-Jew. Therefore, Pinchas decreed that even wine that wasn't done for an idol, regular wine of a non-Jew is prohibited for a Jewish person to drink. And the Imre Emes asks, how can Pinchas make this decree when Moshe Rabbeinu is present? Clearly, Moshe Rabbeinu is the rabbi, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that's supposed to make the decrees and not Pinchas. Then Pinchas making this decree is making a halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Where does he get the permission to do that? The Imre Emes answers that when Moshe Rabbeinu told Pinchas that the reader of the letter is the one that should be the agent to do the job, he was referring to the whole job, thereby giving him authorization to even make this gezeira, this law, that a Jewish person is not allowed to drink any wine of a non-Jew. Sefer Pardas Yosef wants to give a different answer to this question of how Pinchas could make the decree, and Sefer Pardas Yosef uses the Hagoyes Ashri in Perek Vav of Ervin, the sixth Perek of Ervin, where there the Hagoyes Ashri innovates that if the student is a relative of the teacher, then the teacher is not makpet, does not object to the student giving Allah in front of him, since he is his relative. As the Gemara explains in regards to Huldah, which was a relative of Yirmiyahu, prophesizing while Yirmiyahu was around, and the Gemara explains that since Huldah was a relative of Yirmiyahu, therefore Yirmiyahu did not object of her prophesizing, so too the Hagoyes Ashri explains that when the student is a relative of the Rav, then the Rav automatically gives up his honor, his moichel, his honor, and does not object that the student is giving a ruling in front of him. According to this, Sefer Pardas Yosef wants to say that this is the reason why Pinchas is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, great uncle, didn't you teach us that somebody who has relations with a non-Jew, then zealots may kill him, and he doesn't refer to Moshe Rabbeinu as our master Moshe, because he wanted to emphasize that the reason that I could make this ruling is because you are my great uncle Moshe. Since you are my great uncle, obviously you are my relative, and since you are my relative, obviously you do not object of me doing this deed, and you don't object of me making the decree that the people should not drink the non-Jewish wine. I wanted to say that this Hagoyes Ashri is definitely right, and also what the Imre Emes says, it's right too. Meaning that since the Gemara there continues and says that Shmuel argues with Rav, and Shmuel says that when Pinchas saw, what did Pinchas see? The Gemara says that Pinchas saw what is written in Mishle chapter 21, verse number 30, that Ein Chochma ve'ein Tvuna ve'ein Eitza le'neged Hashem, that there is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the honor of Hashem, meaning that kol mokom sheyesh chilul Hashem ein cholkim kavod larav, that everywhere that there is a desecration of Hashem's name, then we are not required to give honor to the Rav, meaning that since the Hashem's name is going to be desecrated, then you are supposed to act and not ask questions to the Rav. And theoretically, then we have to ask, if that is so, why did Pinchas ask permission for Moshe Rabbeinu? I wanted to answer specifically based on what the Hagoyes Ashri says and based on what the Zohar brings down in Parshas Achrei Mois, where the Zohar there says that when Pinchas came to do his deed, he got so scared that his soul left him and the souls of Nadav Avihu entered his body. That means that Pinchas now is the souls of Nadav Avihu. That means that Pinchas now has a chance to make right what Nadav Avihu did wrong. And we mentioned in Parshas Korach that the Gemara says that Nadav Avihu did wrong, that they hoiru halacha lifnei Rabbi, that they did halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, their Rabbi. But theoretically, we have a problem, because if that is true, then the Gaz Ashri explains that when somebody is a relative, then there is no prohibition of hoiru halacha lifnei Rabbi. There's no prohibition against making halacha in front of the Rebbe. Then why were Nadav Avihu, the nephews of Moshe Rabbeinu, punished for giving halacha in front of their uncle? And we mentioned from Sefer Shemeroish that even though normally this is true, but in this case Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Bikroivai, that in Moshe Rabbeinu's relatives, a Kaddish Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be sanctified, and automatically, Val Pnei Kol Ha'om, a covet, that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be honored in front of everybody. Meaning that Hashem wanted that people should take Moshe Rabbeinu's position strong. Therefore, even though technically, when somebody is a relative, there is no prohibition against being Halacha Lifnei Rabbi, nonetheless, in this case, Hashem wanted that through Moshe Rabbeinu's relative, he'll be sanctified. Then people will see how Hashem takes up the honor of Moshe Rabbeinu, automatically Moshe Rabbeinu's honor is going to be enhanced in front of everybody. So therefore, when you are dealing with Moshe Rabbeinu, then even though you are a relative, you are not allowed to be Moira Halacha Lifnei Rabbi in front of his Rabbi. Therefore, since Pinchas here, which are the souls of Nadav Avihu, wants to rectify what Nadav Avihu did wrong, and what they did wrong was that they did halach in front of the Rebbe, even though they were a relative. Therefore, Pinchas starts the statement, great uncle Moshe Rabbeinu, I know technically I don't have to ask you permission for this, because since, number one, you are my relatives, and number two, there is Chilul Hashem, there is desecration of Hashem's name, and when there is desecration of Hashem's name, I don't have to ask permission from the Rav. Nonetheless, since I am the souls of Nadav Avihu, and since they transgressed, they did halacha in front of you, and they were punished for it, therefore I'm telling you that even though you are my relative, I am asking you permission. Didn't you teach us that somebody who is Boil Aramis, who has relations with a non-Jew, zealots may kill him? And Moshe Rabbeinu answered him, that the person who reads the letter, he's the one that should be the agent to deliver it. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Imam Emes, gave him permission, even though he was his relative. And therefore also, Pinchas, when he starts his statement, he says, great uncle Moshe. And he doesn't say Master Moshe, because he wanted to emphasize that even though you are my great uncle Moshe, I am still required to ask permission from you, because since I am the souls of Nadav Avihu and they died because they didn't ask permission from you, even though they were your nephews, therefore I am asking permission from you. After I just finished saying this Dvar Torah, I found that there is a big flaw in my reasoning, meaning that I am saying that since Nadav Avihu became Pinchas, therefore Pinchas is being extremely careful in order not to be Moira Halacha Lifnei Rabbi, so much so that he says, my great uncle Moshe Rabbeinu, and even though there is Chilul Hashem, the sacrifice of Hashem's name, he still asks permission from Moshe Rabbeinu on what to do. But the problem is that according to the Zohar, the soul of Pinchas left after Pinchas left to do the deed, meaning after he got permission from Moshe Rabbeinu to do the deed, he went in front of the tribe of Shimon. When he saw the tribe of Shimon standing in front of him, then Pinchas got scared and his soul left him. At that point, the souls of Nadav Avihu entered the body of Pinchas. That means that after Moshe Rabbeinu already gave him permission, that is when Nadav Avihu entered Pinchas, but not before. Then how can I say that Pinchas did it because he wanted to rectify the sins of Nadav Avihu, when Nadav Avihu aren't even there yet? They will come into his body after he gets permission from Moshe Rabbeinu. So when he says the statement, uncle, didn't you teach us that somebody who has relations with a non-Jew, zealots may kill him, at that point, there is no connection between Pinchas and Nadav Avihu. After I thought that my Dvar Torah was totally collapsed, I found Sefer Toras Chaim on the Gemara, where Sefer Toras Chaim says that the reason why the souls of Nadav Avihu went into Pinchas is because Pinchas was so careful in regards to Hoyre Halacha Lifnei Raboy, in regards of making a ruling in front of his Rabbi, that even though Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the Halacha, and at that point Pinchas was within his right to make the Halacha and do the right thing, since Moshe Rabbeinu had forgotten it, but nonetheless, since Pinchas was so exemplary in keeping all the details of Halacha Lifnei Raboy, and now I could add, even though he was Moshe Rabbeinu's relative, and even though there was Chilul Hashem imminent, nonetheless he didn't want to be disrespectful to his great uncle Moshe. Therefore, when his soul left him, the souls of Nadav Avihu went into him, because they wanted ratification through Pinchas. They wanted to go in into a body which did this mitzvah impeccably. Therefore, specifically, because Pinchas was so impeccable in doing this mitzvah of Hoyre Halacha Lifnei Raboy, even though technically he didn't have to for a variety of reasons, nonetheless, Pinchas decided to do it. Therefore, specifically, after his soul left him, the souls of Nadav Avihu went into Pinchas. So according to this comes out that the reasons that I mentioned previously are the reasons why the souls of Nadav Avihu went to Pinchas, but not the reasons why Pinchas did this deed. Going back to Gemara, the Gemara says that as soon as Pinchas told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Didn't you teach us when you came down from the mountain that somebody who has relations with a Kutis, if a non-Jew, then zealots may kill him?" Then Moshe Rabbeinu tells Pinchas that the person who reads the letter, he is the one that should be the agent to deliver it, to take care of it. Which we explained, it means that he gave him permission to go ahead and do the deed. The Ran asks a question, how can Moshe Rabbeinu give permission for Pinchas to do the deed, when the Gemara clearly says previously, Omar Rav Chizza says, Haboli Molech, if somebody comes to ask the Bezin, meaning that if he comes to ask the Bezin, may I kill somebody who has relations with a non-Jew, Ein Moirin Loi, we do not teach him to do this, meaning if you come to ask, you're not allowed to do this. Then once Pinchas came to ask Moshe Rabbeinu, then how can Moshe Rabbeinu give him permission to do this, when clearly we're not supposed to give permission? That is the Ran's question. The simple answer is that this is exactly the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu does not tell Pinchas, go ahead and kill Zimri. Moshe Rabbeinu gives the answer to Pinchas in an indirect way. Moshe Rabbeinu just tells him that the one who reads the letter is the one that should be the agent, meaning that I am not telling you to go ahead and kill him. I am telling you that since you read the halacha, then go ahead, act upon this halacha. But he is not telling Pinchas to go ahead and kill Zimri. Therefore, since it's in an indirect way, it is not considered like you are telling Pinchas to go ahead and kill him. Therefore, he was allowed to do that. Sefer Arve Nochel asks a strong question, and he asks, since we know that Moshe Rabbeinu did not leave any mitzvah that he should not do it, as it's written in Mishle chapter 10, verse number 8, Chacham Leiv Ikach Mitzvahs, that the wise of heart takes mitzvahs, and the Gemara says that this verse is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, and we say that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to come into Eretz Yisrael because he wanted to make the mitzvahs at Tluyos Ba'aretz, the mitzvahs that have to do with the land of Israel. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu tried to do as many mitzvahs as he could. Then how is it possible that once Moshe Rabbeinu is reminded by Pinchas of the halacha, of what to do with somebody who has relations with a non-Jew, that Moshe Rabbeinu won't do this himself, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu won't go ahead and kill Zimri? I understand that when he forgot, that since he didn't remember the halacha, then he can't do anything. But once Pinchas reminded him, didn't you teach us that this is the halacha, that somebody who has relations with a non-Jew, then kanoim pogimbo, then zealots may kill him, then why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu act upon this mitzvah? why did he leave for Pinchas to do this mitzvah? In truth, in previous shiurim, we gave many answers to this question, and I will cite just two quick, simple answers before we give the answers that we want to address. The simple answer is that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have killed Zimri, then it would change the halacha from halacha ve'ein moirin ken to halacha u'moirin ken. As we mentioned, if somebody comes to the court and asks, can I kill somebody who is having relations with a non-Jew, then we tell him absolutely not. Only a zealot who does it on his own without asking, that is the person who could kill somebody who is having relations with a non-Jew. But if he comes to ask, we do not allow him to kill. Then had Moshe Rabbeinu gone ahead and killed Zimri, people would have thought that this is in fact the halacha. This is the ruling. And they would have thought that if you come to court and ask, we would rule you that you have to kill the person who is having relations with a non-Jew in the same way that Zimri was killed by Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't be the one to do the action because people may misinterpret what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing by thinking that this is what we would rule in regards to the law. The other answer we gave is that since after Zimri brought this Cosby Basur in front of Moshe and asked, can I have relations with her or not? And if I can't have relations with her, Bas Yisroi mi tirolach, the daughter of Yisroi who allowed you to have relations with, meaning that Zimri was challenging Moshe Rabbeinu directly, that if he can't have relations with this Midianis, then how could Moshe Rabbeinu have relations with Zipporah, which also was a Midianis? Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu figured that if he is going to kill Zimri, people may misinterpret and believe that he killed Zimri because he insulted Moshe Rabbeinu. Not because the halacha is that somebody has relations with a non-Jew, then zealots may kill him. People may think that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu killed Zimri is because he insulted Moshe Rabbeinu and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was angry at him and killed him. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu could not act in this point, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu left it for Pinchas to act in this point. If you go in the previous years, you will see that we gave other answers to this question, but now we are going to try to give more answers to this question. Daruch HaNer on the Gemara asks a question that according to the opinion in the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Kof Aleph Omed Beis 101b, where there is two different opinions of when Pinchas became a Kohen. According to the first opinion, Pinchas was the only descendant of Aharon who was not a Kohen until he did the action with Zimri, meaning until he killed Zimri. And we explained the reason is because since Hashem knows everything that is going to happen, and there is a rule that a Kohen who kills a person, then that Kohen is not fit to do the service on the temple. Therefore, according to this opinion, Pinchas was not a Kohen until he killed Zimri and Hashem promised him that he's going to be a Kohen. But then there is another opinion that Pinchas was already a Kohen before he killed Zimri. Then the Aruch HaNer asks, if that is true, that Pinchas is already a Kohen, how is it permitted for Pinchas to kill Zimri when he transgresses the prohibition, the nefesh lo yitama ba'amav? There's a prohibition against a Kohen becomes contaminated to a dead person. Then the question is, how can Pinchas kill Zimri when he kills him, automatically he will be contaminated to him, then he will transgress this halacha. True that the Medrash Tanhuma lists this, the fact that Zimri did not die while Pinchas was carrying him, as one of the 12 miracles that Hashem made to Pinchas at the time where he went to kill Zimri. But since Pinchas doesn't know that, and we have the rule that we cannot rely on that miracle, then how is it possible that Pinchas was told to kill Zimri? Daruch HaNer continues and says that maybe this is exactly the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu tells Pinchas that the one who read the letter, he's the one that should take the message, meaning that since you are the one that remembered this halacha, you are the one that should bring it through. And he explains that Moshe Rabbeinu said this because Moshe Rabbeinu, through his divine prophecy, his Ruach HaKodesh, saw that this miracle is going to happen to Pinchas. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu decided that he is going to tell Pinchas to go ahead and do this and not to worry about being contaminated by Zimri, because the miracle will happen to him. I wanted to add, based on this Aruch HaNer, could be that this is exactly the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't kill Zimri. Meaning that there are two opinions in the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Kav Beis, Omed Aleph 102a. One opinion says that Moshe Rabbeinu was only a Kohen during the first 7 days of the pre-inauguration days, and afterwards, on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Moshe Rabbeinu stopped being a Kohen, because according to the Gemara, every time Hashem gets angry, there is repercussions. And since Hashem became angry at Moshe Rabbeinu for delaying on going to tell Paro to let the Jewish people go, as it's written in Shemos chapter 4, verse number 14, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu lost the job of being high priest and he became only the Levite, and the job was given to Aharon, where he, after the seventh day, remained a Levite. But according to the opinion of the Yesh Omrim, Moshe Rabbeinu always was a priest, always was a Kohen, only his children did not become Kohen. Meaning, while Moshe Rabbeinu was alive during the 40 years of the desert, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen, but his children, the children of Moshe Rabbeinu, never became Kohen. And they bring a proof from the verse in Tehillim, chapter 99, where the verse there says, Moshe ve'aharon b'chohanov, Moshe and Aharon in the priesthood. So we see that Moshe and Aharon are both considered priests. There must be that Moshe Rabbeinu always remained a priest. According to this Aruch HaNer, and according to the opinion of the Gemara, that Moshe Rabbeinu was always a priest, we could now answer why Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to be the one to kill Zimri. Meaning that we ask, since Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do all the mitzvahs, why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go ahead and kill Zimri? We could say that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't kill Zimri. Meaning that since we have the rule that a Kohen is not allowed to contaminate himself to the dead, even though there is a mitzvah that Boel Aramis Kanoim Pogimba, Zelots may kill him, but could be, as the Aruch HaNer explains, that this mitzvah of Kanoim Pogimba, that Zelots may kill him, does not override the prohibition of being contaminated to a dead person. Therefore, could be that Moshe Rabbeinu would not kill Zimri because since he was a priest, he is not allowed to contaminate himself to the dead. But since he saw that a miracle will happen to Pinchas, he saw that while Pinchas carries Zimri, Zimri does not die. Therefore, Pinchas won't be contaminated by Zimri. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Pinchas that the one who reads the letter should be the one to carry out the punishment. Meaning that Pinchas should go ahead and do it, but Moshe Rabbeinu can do it because Moshe Rabbeinu did not foresee that a miracle will happen to him. And since no miracle will happen to him, he cannot kill Zimri because he cannot become contaminated to the dead. Going back to the Aruch HaNer continues and says that according to what he explained, now we could also answer the question of the Ran. The Ran asks a question, how can Moshe Rabbeinu tell Pinchas that the reader of the letter should be the one to go ahead and make the action, meaning that Pinchas should go ahead and kill Zimri, when we have a rule in regards to this law of Boel Aramis, of somebody who is having relations of a non-Jew, that halacha, that this is really the rule, but the Ein Moirin can, but if somebody comes to ask if this is the rule, we tell him, no, that this is not the rule, then how can Moshe Rabbeinu tell Pinchas to go ahead and kill Zimri? The Aruch HaNer explains that this rule that we tell him that you're not allowed to kill somebody who is having relations with a non-Jew, when he comes to ask, is only if he comes to ask the basic rule. He doesn't know the rule, and he's coming to ask, is there such a rule that if somebody who is having relations with a non-Jew, we may kill him? Then we tell him, no. But when somebody already knows the rule, like Pinchas, and he's questioning if this rule applies to his situation or not, in that case, we do rule for him if it applies to his situation or not. Meaning that Pinchas already knew the halacha that somebody has relations with a non-Jew, then zealots may kill him. But Pinchas was in doubt that since he was a Kohen and he is going to be contaminated to him, does this halacha apply to him or not? So the Aruch HaNer explains that in this case, we do make a rule in regards to that. And in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu ruled to Pinchas that he should go ahead and kill Zimri. Sefer Arve Nachal uses almost the same answer, and he explains that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go ahead and kill Zimri himself is based on the Gemara in Tainas Daf Chof Aleph Omet Aleph 21a, where there the Gemara says that Ilfe and Rabbi Yochanan were very poor, that Ilfe and Rabbi Yochanan were learning Torah, but they were very poor, and they decided that they are going to go into business, because the verse says in Dvarim chapter 15, verse number 4, Efes kiloyeh becho evyoin, that there won't be any destitute persons amongst you. So they wanted to fulfill the edict that there shouldn't be any destitute people. Therefore, they decided that they are going to go into business. They go together on the road, and when they stop to eat bread, they happen to stop under a dilapidated wall. Rabbi Yochanan hears two angels, where one angel tells the other, let's throw this wall on top of these two rabbis, because they are living eternal life and they are getting involved in temporary life, meaning that they are living the Torah, which is an eternal life. It goes forever and gives you reward forever. And they are dealing with temporary life, meaning with Parnassah, which is only temporary. The other angel tells the angel that wanted to throw the wall down, let them be, because one of them is going to become a Rosh Hashiva, is going to become the leader of the academy. Rabbi Yochanan asks Ilfo, did you hear anything? Ilfo says, I didn't hear anything. Rabbi Yochanan says that since I heard it and Ilfo did not hear, obviously, this message is meant to me. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan decides that he is going to go back to the academy. And Rabbi Yochanan says that since there is a verse in Devarim, chapter 15, verse number 11, which says, "Ki lo yechdal evyoy mikeref oretz," that the poor will never cease from amongst the land. Therefore, I will fulfill this, that I will be the poor that is always going to be. The Gemara says that after Rabbi Yochanan went back, the leader of the academy passed away, and they made Rabbi Yochanan the leader of the academy. When Ilfa came back, they told Ilfa that if you remained learning, we would have made you the leader of the academy and not Rabbi Yochanan. Nonetheless, we see from here that when somebody hears something and the other one doesn't hear, then obviously the message is only for the one who heard it. And then Sefer Arve Nachal brings another proof, and I happen to see this exact interpretation on the verses there by the Sefer Ezer Miyuda, where in Bereshis chapter 37, verse number 20, when the brothers see Yosef coming from afar, and the brothers are upset at Yosef because of his dreams, and they say, Va'ato enau, lechu v'nargeu, let us go and kill him. And let's throw him in one of the pits. And we will say, a wild animal ate him. And we will see what is going to be his dreams. And there Rashi asks a question. Obviously, if you are going to kill him, clearly there won't be anything from the dreams. Therefore, Rashi says that the last statement, Venire Ma'iyah Chalamoisov, let us see what is going to be his dreams, that is Hashem saying, meaning Ruach HaKodesh Omeresken, that the divine prophecy says that, they say Nargeyu, that the brothers are saying, let us kill him, and the Pasuk ends, let's see what is going to be of the dreams. Nire Dvar Mi Yakum, let us see whose words are going to be fulfilled. Im Shelochem, if the brothers, Oishali, or I, Hashem. Meaning that Hashem is saying, let us see who is going to get what of the dreams. And right afterwards, it's written, Vayishma Reuven, Reuven heard, Vayatzileu miyadam, and decided he's going to save them for the hand. So the Aruch HaNer explains that Reuven heard what the divine prophecy said, then automatically Reuven realized that since nobody heard it but him, therefore Vayatzileu miyadam, Reuven decided that it is incumbent on him to save Yosef from their hand. Meaning Vayishma Reuven, Reuven heard, wasn't that he heard that the brothers are saying that they want to kill him. That Reuven heard was that Reuven heard what divine prophecy says, that let's see who is going to be right, either the brothers or me, Hashem. And then Reuven decided that since he heard it, he is the one that has to save Yosef. So we see from here that when somebody hears something that everybody else doesn't hear, then clearly what he heard applies to him. According to this, the Arve Nachal explains that since Moshe Rabbeinu saw here that everybody forgot the halacha, but Pinchas did not forget the halacha, then automatically Moshe Rabbeinu realized that this law will apply only to Pinchas, and any miracles, any success that will come from this action will only come via Pinchas. Because since Hashem allowed only Pinchas to remember this halacha, clearly this halacha applies only to Pinchas. Therefore, he says that the one who reads the letter, he is the one that should fulfill the mitzvah, meaning that since you are the only one who read the letter, that this was only disclosed to you because we all forgot the halacha, therefore, you are the one that should fulfill this mitzvah, and you are the one that should go ahead and kill Zimri. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go and kill Zimri, because Moshe Rabbeinu realized that this mitzvah is specifically for Pinchas, since he's the only one who remembered. From this parsha, we see how important it is for us to make sure that we fight assimilation, and we see that Pinchas received the reward according to the Targum Yonasi ben Uziel, that he is going to become Eliyahu, he is going to herald the Moshiach. So we see that fighting assimilation brings Moshiach. Hashem Mizbaruch should help that we should soon see Moshiach coming, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, Bimhero Bayomeinu, Amen.